Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Grace is the unmerited favor of God who sent His Son to die in our place that we could be forgiven and restored to the Father. Faith is us holding on to that salvation. We are warned in the book of Hebrews not to neglect so great a salvation. Jesus has done everything for us, but if we don't reach out to God and take hold of His salvation, it will do us no good. Imagine a man who sets off alone to cross the Atlantic in a rowboat. A huge storm comes up, which threatens to capsize his small boat. The Coast Guard gets wind of the predicament and immediately dispatches a helicopter to rescue him. They manage to find him at great personal cost, but when they lower the basket, he refuses to get in. Nothing can persuade him that he is going to perish if he doesn't climb in. Finally, with the helicopter running low on fuel, they have to turn back, leaving the man to his fate. This is an accurate picture of our salvation. Jesus has mounted a massive rescue operation and spared nothing to rescue us. He came and paid a great personal cost to rescue us. But at some point, we have to join in with the operation. We have to receive His salvation or perish. We have to hold on to His salvation by faith. There are so many things that get in the way, so many things that distract us from taking hold of His great salvation. If we don't get sober-minded and alert and grab hold for dear life, we also will perish beneath the waves. Stay tuned to find out more about this great mission to rescue your soul right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Last lesson, we talked about our salvation being likened to someone who has fallen in a deep hole. They are completely unable to get out of the hole and are helplessly awaiting their doom. In the midst of their predicament, suddenly someone comes along and discovers them stuck down in the darkness. In their joy, they exclaim, "I'm saved," which is exactly true, but only because they trust that the person is going to get them out. They are saved. They aren't going to perish in the hole because a rescuer has come. However, they are still in the hole. They still have the step of getting out of the darkness. This is a very accurate picture of our salvation. We meet our rescuer, but we are still in the world and we are still surrounded by sin inside us and around us. That sin has a tremendous ability to interfere with actually getting out of the hole. It can discourage us so that we let go of God's saving hand, or we can get infatuated with all the things of the world and not want to get free from them. This is the most common scenario. So it's not till we are safely on heaven's celestial shores that we are really out of the hole. There are many scriptures that attest to this, some of which we covered last lesson. If you missed the lesson, we're going through a book called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can get a copy cheaply on Amazon or you can go to the Skies Revival Radio website, where you'll find the previous radio messages archived. I strongly urge you to get a copy of the book, though, because it's filled with humorous and instructional cartoons. Now, getting back to the lesson, we see Jesus is constantly warning us that it is he who holds firm to the end that will be saved. He who holds firm to the end will be saved. And this is historic Christianity. The Narrow Gate series is based on the ancient path where the good way is. It is particularly a summary of the basic principles of the Reformation. The idea of holding firm to the end is not only the chief warning of Jesus in all the Gospels, but is also stated clearly in the book of Revelation, where Jesus addresses the churches and again warns each one to hold firm to the end. And this is what we see in such Puritan classics as Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan, in that book, graphically pictures the many dangers that we face as we make our pilgrimage to the celestial city. We're going to continue on now with chapter 24 of Through the Narrow Gate. This section is entitled Grace and Faith. Make no mistake, we are truly saved when we meet Jesus. When we earnestly repent, the Father forgives us of our sin and clothes us in Jesus' righteousness. If we die then in a state of repentance and faith in Jesus, we can be assured of the kingdom of heaven. However, while we are still alive, we are, as the great hymn writer said, faced with many dangers, toils, and snares. There are all types of insidious temptations trying to turn us back from following our Savior. This is the pit of sin that we're born in. There is outward sin, hidden sin, pride, worldliness, lusts of the flesh, and passions of all sorts, which wage war against our soul. While we're still alive on the earth, ours is a constant battle to hang onto the salvation of our God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" And this refers to Christians being caught up in the passing distractions of the world, and by doing so, neglecting the things of God. Again, we are instructed we must hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm until the end. And if we are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, we will live. That's Romans 8:13. We must fiercely and determinedly hold fast to Jesus till we are safely home with him. While we are ascending from the pit of sin, it can be a long and difficult climb, but we must hold on to the rope which has been let down to us. Ours is to press on in faith, holding on to the grace of Jesus' salvation. Consider the very sobering words of Hebrews when it says, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin." That's Hebrews 12:4. Going back to the illustration of us being like someone who has fallen into a deep hole, and a rescuer comes and throws a rope to us to pull us out, this leaves us with a number of difficulties because it is a long and treacherous climb. To begin with, as we take hold of the rope of God's salvation, we find that other people in the pit will grab onto our feet and try to pull us back down with them. And this is very hard when it's friends, when it's family members. It's terrible when it's your own family, your own mother and brothers and sisters. It is a radical departure from what they have seen in the past. For you to abandon your previous lifestyle to follow Jesus will definitely draw their attention. They will try to convince you that you're taking things too seriously and that God would never expect such things from you. They will accuse you of being high-minded and thinking you're better than everyone else. Misery loves company, so when you start to leave, you will face stiff resistance. You might even be confronted with open hostility as you proceed to follow Jesus up and out of the pit. In addition to this, there are creeping vines which grow prolifically at the bottom of this hole. Those vines wrap themselves around you and cling to you like tentacles. These are the parasitic vines of the cares of the world. Your involvement in the world and attachment to the things of the world become snares that won't let you escape from your dungeon. Your feet are entwined with cords of the desire for worldly accomplishment and recognition and success. One by one, they must be snapped so that your ascent will be unhindered. If even one remains, it prevents your upward movement. While Jesus is pulling up on you, your attachment to earthly success threatens to pry you right off of the rope. The next thing you must do is let go of anything you are carrying in order to firmly take hold of the rope of salvation. You'll find it pretty much impossible to climb with a TV under your arm. We think we can be saved and still carry all sorts of things up with us, but it's not possible. You must let go of everything to ensure a successful climb. If you try to store things in a backpack, the weight of it will eventually wear you out. Better to proceed unhindered. I'm going to tell you an interesting experience I had. As a young man, I once had the unenviable experience of literally being in this predicament that we're speaking about. With a few Christian brothers, a spelunking adventure was planned. That's exploring little-known caves. We descended into a dark crack of the earth. It was not a well-lit tourist cave we were exploring. As we went lower and lower into the earth, we came to one point where the bottom literally fell out from under us. There was a large cavern right below us, and the floor was about 40 feet under us. If you were standing at the bottom, we would have been coming through the ceiling of a cathedral-sized room. Getting down was not too difficult, but when it came to returning to the surface, it was a different matter. We climbed up the side partway with the aid of a rope, but at one point we had to swing out over the chasm and climb the rope hand over hand to safety. It was a hair-raising experience, which, as you can see, I never forgot. When I think about this story and the importance of holding on tightly, that's what I think about. What would have been seemingly impossible for me to do under normal circumstances, I was able to do because my life depended on it. In our walk with Jesus, much more than our earthly life is at stake, so we must take the necessary steps and make the necessary sacrifices. There is a strange sight which heaven often watches. In the modern church, we make much of the experience of being saved. As we look up from the pit and we see Jesus' face, we are overjoyed. We shout, "Hallelujah! We're saved!" Immediately, everyone breaks into great delight and singing. Not that these aren't good things, but the focus can many times shift from the job at hand, which is, through faith in Jesus, getting out of the pit of all of our sinful desires and worldly distractions. And then we invent all types of music singing and dancing to express our joy at being found. Often there is great commotion and loud exclamations of thankfulness. Meanwhile, Jesus has quietly lowered a rope and is waiting for someone to take hold of it. But in all the excitement, no one even sees the rope. If anyone even suggests that, hey, this is serious, let's grab on and get out of here, they're accused of being faithless or having no joy. It must be a strange sight from heaven to see multitudes of people rejoicing in Jesus, but no one hanging on to the rope of salvation which he has lowered down to them. If the apostles Peter and Paul clung desperately to the rope and considered it no small matter to arrive safely at heaven's door, how much more ought we conduct ourselves with a reverent fear during our time on earth? Now, getting back on the rope, many more snares await us as we continue our upward journey. Once we manage to get past the people who would try to dissuade us from going up, and by taking the sword of the Spirit, we have severed the pit vines that are wrapped around our legs, now there are further trials that threaten to impede our progress. For one, the moment we relax our grip, we begin to slide back down into the pit. There's no static place where we can simply exist. If we aren't holding tightly to Christ, we are slipping down. If our hands are slippery because the grease of pride is on them, we'll find ourselves back down on the bottom in no time. Another common snare comes in the form of meeting someone partway up. We might see a desperate-looking individual that just happens to be an attractive member of the opposite sex, and they are calling to you, and you feel like you're strong enough to take them up with you. So you let go of the rope for a moment to help them, and down you plunge. This happens to many people. What you didn't know was that the enemy has not stopped his efforts to keep you from reaching the surface. He has devised every sort of trap to make sure you don't get out. A non-Christian boyfriend or girlfriend is one of his favorite ploys. You meet someone you're attracted to along the way and immediately think you're strong enough in God to go out with them or even to marry them. That he or she is not a committed Christian doesn't stop you. Many, many potentially fine Christian women have been sabotaged by this reasoning. The most fortunate ones might even have a happy enough home by normal standards, but their fervent relationship with Jesus is cooled and 1,000 compromises begin to threaten even their own salvation. The enemy doesn't want to lose anyone. The non-Christian mate is one of his most effective tools. On our way up, we also pass many enticing things that will make us want to let go of the rope for a minute. A staircase has even been built into the wall halfway up. As we pass by, it seems to be much easier, and it appears to go straight up. What we don't see is that the stairs ascend until just out of sight, then plunge abruptly into the abyss. There is no easy way. If you are tempted to think that God does not require this type of commitment from you, that is the easy staircase. Jesus warns us that the gate to heaven is very narrow, and the way to hell is broad and wide for many who choose the easy way. Also, as we near the top, we might pass a group of people who have gathered in a large opening to congratulate us. They are celebrating your success and honoring your great accomplishments in getting so high. Many a man who has begun the climb, foiling the enemy's plan to keep him down, has faced an even more difficult challenge as he neared the end of his course. The enemy changes his tactics as you approach the finish line. Now, rather than hindering you, he heaps accolades upon you. The glory is yours. The people have recognized your great spiritual gifts. You are recognized everywhere and highly esteemed. Beware. Proverbs 27:21 says, "A man's heart is tested by his reaction to praise." Those the enemy can't stop by force or deception, he can often bring down by praise. The best part is he can also bring down with you all those who were looking to your example. So we must look to our defense. Our defense is this, that we keep our eyes straight up, focused on our rescuer. We firmly keep in mind that though we have hung on, it was the Savior who has mercifully sacrificed himself and is pulling us up. We remember that it was our sin that got us in trouble to begin with, and without the miraculous cleansing of Jesus, we could have never, ever been able to hang on. Humility is our defense. For those alone who have thrown aside all else in order to grasp the rope firmly is the sweetest piece of knowing that the way goes upward. With every passing moment, Jesus is pulling us up. We are leaving death behind with each passing day. For them, the darkness is almost over. The day is at hand. Soon, they will be standing next to their loving Savior, side by side. The pit will be just a memory, and the glory of the sun and the fresh air and all of heaven will be theirs. Romans 13:11 says, "And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. The day is at hand." God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And I pray that you will take these lessons to heart, and we look forward to getting together with the next lesson. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.